Christ, the Good Shepherd. Here is Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 34, 600 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives this prophecy from God, a word from God, a promise from God. Thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. We're to look at this subject from the aspect of Ezekiel first, as a starting point, and to ask, what does the Holy Spirit reveal about the Good Shepherd? What information does the Scriptures contain about this glorious subject? Who is the shepherd, and what will he do? So we begin at Ezekiel 34 and verses 11 through to 24, and draw from other Old Testament prophecies and the glorious fulfillment in our Lord Jesus Christ. First we shall ask, who is this good shepherd? And just so that we know where we're going in this session, let's give the answers, the three answers that we can discover in God's word. Who is this shepherd? Well, first, he is the good shepherd. He is the true shepherd. He is God like God. Secondly, he is the great shepherd. He has an enormous, everlasting flock. That's to do with the enormity of his flock. He is the greatest shepherd because he has the greatest flock. And then thirdly, he is the chief shepherd, for he has a multitude of under shepherds. The chief among all his servants who act as under shepherds in the church of Jesus Christ. Who is the shepherd? He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. And is the chief shepherd. And these, of course, are taken from the Gospel of John and from Hebrews and from 1 Peter. Who is this shepherd? He is the good shepherd. This prophecy in Ezekiel 34 exposes, first of all, in the early verses, from 1 to 10, exposes the corrupt spiritual shepherds of Israel. In subject and language, it is similar to an earlier prophecy that was given through Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 23 and the first six verses, where the same false shepherds are punished and removed, and the way is open for the appearance of the Lord's true shepherd. As one has said, commenting on the 11th verse, here begins a sweet prophecy of Christ and his kingdom, with many benefits which the flock of God shall have. It's a wonderful prophecy. In the place of the bad shepherds who failed God and been corrupted in their behavior towards the people of God, God himself is going to come. Note what it actually says. Indeed, I myself. It's very, very emphatic. I'm coming. It's as though God is so distressed by the way in which his people are being treated that he says, I've had enough of these bad shepherds. They've been looking after themselves. They've been feeding themselves. They've been abusing my people. I'm going to remove them, punish them, judge them, and I'm coming to deal with them. And if we look down at verse 23 in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 23, we read, I will establish, this is God speaking, I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. So we have two things in this very passage. One, God is saying, I am coming. But then he says, I'm going to raise up my servant David. This expression, servant David, a prince, and the idea of David being used to symbolize Christ, is frequently found in the Old Testament scriptures. I could give you many references in the Old Testament where Christ is called David. And it has never been thought that God would raise again David himself, King David. Neither the Jews nor Christians ever understood this to be like a reincarnation of King David. It's a symbolic term. David was a type of Christ. In his rule, his reign, he was a type of Christ. And so this name is used to speak of David's greater son, Christ, the Messiah. Interestingly, of David, the psalmist Asaph declares, the Lord also chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes that had young, he brought him to shepherd Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hand. Lovely words about David himself as a shepherd. But when we read here in Ezekiel that God is going to raise up David, my servant David, it is a name meaning Christ. He means Messiah. So that this is the way in which we can see God saying, I am coming, and then saying, Messiah is coming. This is frequently found in the Old Testament scriptures. And it's a truth, of course. Once we discover that Messiah is God like God, that the Son is like the Father, that he is also to be called God and called God frequently in the scriptures, then we see how God fulfills this promise. I will come, Messiah will come. Messiah is the I, he's God here among us. I suppose most Christians are familiar with the prophecy of Micah concerning Messiah in Micah chapter 5 verse 2. When it says of Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler of Israel. This is a very well-known verse among the Jews in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one to be ruler over Israel, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting, the eternal one, the Messiah. It was understood. He shall stand, it says in verse 4, he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. He is the good shepherd, God. The true shepherd. And secondly, he is the great shepherd. He has an enormous everlasting kingdom. In Hebrews 13, verse 20, we read, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. He's the great shepherd. the greatest shepherd in a whole world. And one of the, it's not only the extensiveness of his shepherd, his flock there, his sheep, but it's the fact that he lives forever. Other shepherds come and go, other shepherds die. But he's a shepherd that endures, so he's got all these sheep. He gathers all these sheep from the generations and from the nations. No wonder he is regarded as a great shepherd. Remember how when the Lord Jesus Christ was describing his coming to Israel, he says in John chapter 10, having spoken about Israel and his coming to among the Jews, he says, "Other sheep I have who are not of this fold," meaning Israel. "Them I also must call, and there will be one flock, one shepherd." He's foretelling what Paul will develop as the breaking down of the division between Jew and Gentile, and the merging of the people of God under one Saviour. One Lord, one shepherd. What a multitude. This great shepherd has so many sheep. A number, well, we're told, aren't we, in the book of Revelation, a great multitude which no one can number. Of every nation, tribe, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. He is the great shepherd. He is also the chief shepherd. He has a multitude of under-shepherds. So Peter writes in his first letter, chapter 5, "When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." He's saying, I'm an elder, and I'm addressing other elders. I'm a pastor, because in the Bible, the name elder is used of the same men who are also pastors. And it's used, the same name is used as bishops. I mean, we've got through the years, what confusion has been brought by different people in different institutional churches using the terms in different ways. But for example, if you were to look in Acts chapter 20, you would discover there that Paul addresses the elders from Ephesus, there at Miletus. He's at Miletus. He addresses elders, verse 17, and he says to them, the wonderful words, he says, "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." That's the same word that you get for bishops. Bishop actually translates the word overseer to shepherd. You see, so this is what Paul says, "Take heed to yourself, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers," made you bishops, "to shepherd," to be pastors, "of the church of God which he purchased with his blood." So you've got there in that one chapter, chapter 20, you've got proof that the elders are the bishops, overseers, and they're the pastors. The Bible is quite consistent and clear on the matter. It is Messiah Christ who enables his under-shepherds to feed his flock and discharge their responsibilities entrusted to them. "As we have been approved," says Paul, "as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts." It's sober instruction. It's a very serious thing to be a pastor, an elder, a bishop in the Church of Jesus Christ. Should not be undertaken lightly. It is Christ who gives under shepherds their gifts, their graces, and their power. And they're answerable to the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. So we have then from the New Testament these definitions: a good shepherd, a great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. But let's see how they fit now with our passage in Ezekiel. What will the shepherd do? First of all, he will search for his sheep. That is what our God says here in chapter 34, verses 11 and 12. Indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. And isn't this one of the keynotes in the teaching of Jesus and the preaching of Jesus? Just as he told Zacchaeus there in his home there, having been invited to tea, the Lord Jesus Christ said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And our Lord Jesus told that wonderful parable about the lost sheep. He said, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? That's a lovely expression. I remember reading a book shortly after I was converted, many, many years ago, by a man called Dempster, who was working in London. He went out at night looking for lost souls, called people who were living rough on the streets, homeless. And he went out to speak of the Lord Jesus and to help in providing food and shelter for these lost folk. And one of his books, where he recounted a number of people who had been wonderfully touched by the grace of God, one of his books was called Until He Finds It. And it's that sense that Jesus brings over of the shepherd seeking and seeking. He knows where his sheep is, and he goes to a lot of trouble to find his sheep. And that's to his praise and glory, of course. So he seeks. Peter tells us, he reminds us, you are all like sheep going astray, but you've now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So we read in Ezekiel 34, verse 16, I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. See how it's reacting against all the failings, all the corruption of the pastors, the elders, the shepherds, who were so miserably failing in their duties. Peter says, in visiting Cornelius, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. He will search for his sheep. He is searching for his sheep. What will this shepherd do? Well, the second thing that we find is he will support his sheep. He will support them. He will feed, heal, shelter, and protect his sheep. This expression, feed, is not intended to be limited to food. It really embraces, as Bible scholars pointed out to us, it really embraces the whole task of the shepherd, feeding, nourishing, caring for. It's no good giving them food if they're ill. They need healing, they need medicine. Feeding denotes the whole office. And we can see this in contrast to the first 10 verses in Ezekiel 34. We have a reference in Jeremiah chapter 3 where God says, return, O backslidden children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. The feeding, see, is it the spiritual food is teaching, explaining, and expounding the word of God. This is the feeding that is primarily in mind. And when you think of Ezekiel 34 and those terrible shepherds, it's good to think about Isaiah 61 and a promise concerning Messiah Christ. The prophecy there, which says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to comfort all who mourn." See how different the ministry of the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. The contrast. The King Messiah will exercise his kingship, caring for all the members of his flock, leading them rather than lording it over them, and taking pity on them when they are harassed and helpless. In the character of King Jesus, there is in fact a remarkable combination: strength and condescension. A unique blending of humility, loving kindness, gentleness, magnanimity, tenderness, compassion, as is made abundantly clear in the biblical record. He will seek his sheep. He will support his sheep. He will save his sheep. He will lay down his life for his sheep. There's nothing he will not do for his sheep. "I am the good shepherd," says Jesus. "The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own." But where do we get a connection between Calvary and the shepherd? It is not in Ezekiel 34, but it is to be found in a later prophecy, in Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 7, in disturbing words, where God says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones." These are some of the most sobering words in the whole Word of God. God calls his shepherd "the man who is my companion." And the very word that he uses, calling the man companion, is describing one who is like himself. The meaning of this passage is clearly fixed by Christ. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 31 and 32, he applies it expressly to himself at that dread hour when he was about to finish his great mission at Calvary. But this man, according to the prophecy, the shepherd of Jehovah whom the sword is to smite, is no other than the Messiah, who is also identified with Jehovah in chapter 12 of Zechariah at verse 10. That good shepherd who says of himself, "I and my Father are one." It is his companion, Messiah. And it is God who is giving the command. Jesus, referring to Zechariah 13 and verse 7, says on that notable night, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." God the Father gave the instruction, strike, sword, strike. It's like Isaiah 53, where Isaiah says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Who can enter into the meaning here? God, striking God. God striking his beloved son. And our Lord Jesus, referring to that, was aware that all 11 of his apostles would stumble and would fall, be trapped by the events that surrounded Jesus that night. And the arrest, the trial, Calvary, they fled. Verse 56 of Matthew 26. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Who is this shepherd? He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. What has this shepherd done? Well, it's promised. God has promised that he would come personally and seek his sheep. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, his own Son, God is searching for his sheep, still searching. He's gathered many. But we know that as long as our Lord Jesus Christ does not return, there are souls to be saved. He will come when he has gathered his church, when he has called those who are going to repent. No one will be in hell. No one will be dispatched to hell able to say, if you had waited just another day, I would have repented. Everyone who's going to repent will repent before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. But none of us know when that last one will occur. And our duty and responsibility is to tell others of this amazing Saviour and hasten the day of his return. Isn't that what Peter says? Isn't this the very way? Preach the gospel, pray for them, pray them into the kingdom of God. Tell them of the love of the Saviour. Tell them that the shepherd is still seeking his sheep. He will feed his flock, says Isaiah, referring to the Messiah, chapter 40 and verse 11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Now, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make us complete in every good work to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.